Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into the final hour of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. And let's welcome into the show a man that I respect and a man that I am glad to call a friend, one Rick Henry of WIS Channel 10 out of Columbia. Rick, have you recovered from Birmingham and SEC Media Days?
Hi, Josh. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, as a matter of fact, just got down to the beach today, you know, for one of these final weekends before football season starts. But, I was down at SEC Media Days for 2 days, including Wednesday, which was the big crush with Alabama and the Gamecocks.
As we're talking with Rick Henry, the senior sportscaster from WIS Channel 10 in Columbia. Rick, let me be the first to tell you, congratulations, my man, on the award. I believe Bob Lee presented it to you. Is that right, in North Carolina?
That's correct. I was named South Carolina Sportscaster of the Year for the second time by the National Sports Media Association. And it's just a wonderful weekend up in Winston-Salem. 3 days, and they treat you like royalty. So thank you very much.
You got it. Rick, let's jump right into it. The first thing is, and I know you being in Columbia and carrying the hometown team with South Carolina, and it's gotten a lot of play here. Coach Muschamp, was his face glowing as much in person as it was on TV when that interviewer asked him if he was the little brother of Clemson?
Well, I was in the room when it took place, and you could just see Coach Muschamp just seething. And as a matter of fact, the reporter who asked that question was standing in the back next to my photographer. My photographer was thinking, man, don't stand beside me because Coach Muschamp may throw something at you. So, yeah, he was pretty hot. Did not appreciate that question at all.
Yeah, I didn't understand in that setting asking him the question like that. I thought that I mean, even if you wanted to ask him a question like that, it should have been done in one of the one-on-one sessions that they have separately. But about the Gamecocks coming into it, one of the things that I've noticed about him is he seems to have a look when anybody starts to ask him about South Carolina this year. He kind of has a look like the cat that ate the canary, that everybody knows about the schedule, but he kind of has a feeling about this football team.
Well, he came out and told us it's going to be the best of his four Gamecock teams. And as far as the schedule goes, I kind of like his response. He says, hey, it's tough every year. The only thing different about it this year is they have Alabama. But still, when you think about them having Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia, probably 1, 2, 3 in all of the preseason polls, it is pretty daunting. But I can understand why he feels pretty good about this squad.
As we're talking with Rick Henry, award-winning sportscaster from WIS in Columbia. Rick, what were some takeaways that you had there being on the ground in Birmingham from SEC Media Days, things that may not have gotten out to the public, or maybe it did, but it wasn't really emphasized, that you thought was a story that needed to be told?
Well, since I spent most of my time covering the Gamecocks and doing stories about them, I'll give you my overall opinion about the Gamecocks and how they presented themselves down there. It's like, hey, you look at the schedule, it's tough, but it presents them with an opportunity. Everyone seems to be brimming with confidence. Quarterback Jake Bentley, it's been hammered home with him from Coach Muschamp, the media, the fans. He has to cut down on the turnovers. He's had double-digit interceptions the past 2 years. Now, Coach Muschamp says some of those are not on Jake, but they have to protect the football. And when you're going against the kind of teams they're going to be facing, if you don't protect the football, it's going to be a long season. And Also, offensively, everyone talks about them missing Deebo Samuel, but they've got a pretty good receiving core with Brian Edwards. Smith is back from an injury, Shy Smith. So I think they'll be able to replace him with just a pretty good group of guys, and they'll be okay. But one of the big keys for USC, they have to get a consistent running game.
As we're talking with Rick Henry of WIS 10 in Columbia, Rick, and a part of that running game, it's a twofold question for you. How does Coach Muschamp and the staff feel about this offensive line? I know they moved some guys around, and what does he feel about what they need to do to improve in the red zone?
Well, one thing improving in the red zone is don't turn the ball over, and also you got to run the football. I think he feels pretty good about his offensive line, especially with guys like Wanham and Donnell Stanley. Those are some pretty big hosses up there. They've had some guys with good experience. Again, it's the whole offense has to be at peak performance. Run the football, and on defense, stop the football. There were two weak spots for the Gamecocks last year. They couldn't run. They couldn't stop the run. And that's why they lost some of those some of the games that they did.
As we're talking with Rick Henry, senior sportscaster from WIS in Columbia, following the Gamecocks in Birmingham at SEC Media Days. And speaking of that running game, what is the expectation in the running backs room? I know there's three viable running backs in Mon Denson and Rico Daddle and A.J. Turner. How does Thomas Brown, what is the addition of him to this staff been for those running backs?
Well, they seem to really love Coach Brown and what he is offering. The key for the running backs, you mentioned some names, and there are some guys that have had some decent days, but then again, they may disappear for 2 or 3 weeks. Rico Daddle, he's shown some flashes of being a pretty good SEC running back, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Coach Muschamp told us that he's healthy, 100% healthy and ready to go, but he has to stay on the field because it seems like Rico just cannot get into a rhythm from week to week, game to game. If he can do that, that would be a big plus.
As we're talking with Rick Henry of WIS and Channel 10 in Columbia, Rick, there's a young man that I'm interested in that running back room, Kevin Harris. Has there been any information about him? Will he get any running time? Has he had a good spring? I know he's a big kid, like 5'10", 230 pounds. He kind of went viral a little bit doing a backflip in his uniform. But what do the staff think about that young man?
You know, I've heard very little coming out from the staff. You know, Coach Muschamp has a tendency to be kind of tight-lipped with his newcomers, and we don't get to talk to the assistant coaches. So I'm pretty much like everyone else. I see what's going around on social media. Guy looks like he could be an outstanding running back. And let's just say there's a lot of optimism, and people are hopeful that they'll get a chance to see him on the field early on in the season.
Another position that I think the Gamecocks have a diamond in the rough is at tight end. What is your opinion on the development of Keel Pollard? I thought he had an outstanding spring game, and I look for him to have a pretty good fall this year.
Yeah, he did have a pretty good spring game, and you know, he's had those moments where he has been able to show what he's been able to do. And plus, you know, he spent some time behind some folks and waiting his turn. So I expect him to, you know, normally with the Gamecocks and tight ends, well, Hayden Hurst, he really showed what he could do and turned himself into a draft pick with the Baltimore Ravens. And Keel Pollard, maybe he'll be the next guy in line.
As we're talking with Rick Henry, senior sportscaster of WIS out of Columbia, South Carolina. Rick, of course, you can't talk about South Carolina without talking about Jake Bentley, 2.5-year starter, poised to break the 10,000-yard mark. What has Dan Warner's addition to the staff meant to Jake Bentley's development?
Well, I think the main thing with him is just getting Jake to settle down. Part of Jake's problems in the past is that maybe he got a little too emotional and maybe tried to do a little bit too much on his own. So just get him to settle down, keep his emotions in check, and just trust your teammates and trust what's happening in the game. And I think if he can really latch on to that this season, perhaps he can, have the best year of his career. And like you said, he's got a chance to walk away being one of the all-time leaders when it comes to statistics and the record book. But again, it'll all be for naught if he can't cut down on those interceptions.
As we're talking with Rick Henry of WIS Channel 10 in Columbia, Rick, on the defensive side of the ball, of course, the Gamecocks bring back T.J. Brunson in the middle. They've got big Javon Kinlaw coming back on the inside. What has Coach Muschamp said about his defense and how he feels the front four and the linebacking crew is heading into the season?
Yeah, you mentioned Kinlaw. You know, he was banged up late in the season, and D.J. Wanham, he was hurt as well. So you got those guys back. And I think a real big key, you mentioned T.J. Brunson, they got to get more production out of their linebackers. But if they can stay healthy and if some of the young guys can come along, you've got Zach Pickens there. And if they can build some depth and just stay healthy up front, I think that'll help solve some of the problems with the pass rush. But I'm really interested to see how T.J. Brunson can step up his game along with the other linebackers and do their part to shore up that defense.
As we are wrapping up with Rick Henry of WIS Channel 10 in Columbia, Rick, on the secondary, you've got Jamias Williams. He's coming back. Israel, and correct me if I mispronounce his name, Muku Amu, is that correct?
Hey, you got it.
Hey, then we're doing pretty well. How do they feel about the secondary as it comes back? A lot of returners, a lot of experience. There was a lot of youth last year. Now those guys have grown up. And I think I saw where they switched some guys around that were playing corner, now playing safety. Talk to us about what's going on in the defensive backfield.
Again, you know, this team was really hit hard by injuries last year, and much to Coach Muschamp's and a lot of credit to him, he hasn't been using that as an excuse. You know, in the secondary last year, you had to move guys around, from safety to corner and vice versa. These guys are healthy, and if they can stay healthy and bring along, some second line guys, they should be okay. Especially when you look at a guy like J.C. Horn, who, I was on the road traveling today. I don't think he made the preseason all SEC team, first, second, or third, which I think is a big oversight on the media's part, because this guy is going to be playing on Sundays. Again, with the Gamecocks, stay healthy. You've got some talent. They just need to build some depth. That's a problem, really, on both sides of the football for the Gamecocks. They've got some talent, some really good players, and just have to build some depth.
Rick, as always, thank you, my man. Tell our listeners where they can find you on social media. And as you're down at the beach and you're playing golf, just watch out for those alligators.
Oh, hey, don't worry. I'm staying away from the ocean, any type of bodies of water other than a pool. Too many shark sightings this year. But, no, you can find me at Twitter at RickHenry10 and on Instagram at RickHenry56.
Rick, thank you so much, and we wish you all the best. Thank you for joining the show today.
Hey, Josh, well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to the fine folks in Upstate.
That is Rick Henry, a national award-winning sportscaster from WIS Channel 10 in Columbia, South Carolina. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips along with Diesel over there on the board. Diesel, you asked an interesting question off air during the break.
Yeah, they were showing on ESPN television the FPI percentage rankings for teams to win the Big Ten this year. And Michigan is the odds-on favorite. I think it was like a 35% chance that Michigan would win the Big Ten. From there down, it was Penn State, Michigan State, and then Ohio State with like an 8% chance to win it. Obviously, the FPI is in love with Michigan this year. If the expectations are this high, they're always high at Michigan, but you know, I feel like this year they're getting a little bit more hype than they typically do. With Michigan, you got to show me before I'll believe it. But with as much hype as they're getting, if Michigan falls flat, loses 2, 3, 4 at worst, misses the playoff or a New Year's Six Bowl, is this it for Harbaugh?
Yes. I believe Dabo got that new deal, but he was, I believe, prior to Dabo getting that new deal, I believe he was the second highest paid college football coach in the country.
That's just Michigan showing off. That's them showing off that they got the money.
And, you know, a lot of people said, what has he done since he's been there? I mean, he's improved Michigan from what they were. You know, because Michigan was kind of lost in the doldrums of the Brady Hoke, Rich Rodriguez mess.
Sure.
And
Charlie Weiss. No, Charlie Weiss was at Notre Dame,
yeah.
Excuse me, my bad.
And those were two fiascos.
Sure.
At Michigan. And I will say this, he's improved the recruiting, he's improved the coaching staff, and whether you like the guy or whether you don't, I mean, you got to give him credit where credit's due. He's brought in exceptional assistants, so he's upgraded the staff. Some of them have gone on to better jobs, head coaching jobs, and he's solidified the fan base. Now, all of that's well and good, because here's the thing. Michigan was a 4-6, 6-6 type program before he got there. Okay, so now they're up to 8-9 wins a year. And the question is for him, can they win big games? Or is he going to be characterized in his legacy of Big Ten coaches of being like John Cooper at Ohio State? You know, if you don't remember, John Cooper had two distinctions in his career as head coach at Ohio State. He was the best 9-win coach Ohio State ever had, and he lost twice to South Carolina back-to-back. And he couldn't be, I'll say three, and he couldn't beat Michigan. But he won 9-10 games a year.
Which most programs would be thrilled to have, that kind of consistency.
Exactly. Well, right now, Harbaugh is getting close to being characterized in the John Cooper legacy area. And that's not going to be good enough at Michigan, especially this year. Because here's the thing. Not only does he have to win the Big Ten championship, he's got to beat Ohio State. There is a chance that he could win the Big Ten championship, lose to Ohio State, and get fired. Because Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State in 8 years. 8 years. And the folks up in Ann Arbor wearing the maize and blue, or the maize and yellow, that are the maize and blue, they're not going to tolerate this team that is going to start the year ranked in the top four. The media loves Michigan because of Harbaugh.
And see, a lot of people hate Harbaugh because of his antics. I'm 100% okay with everything that he did because Michigan needed it. It's not the Michigan way to pull that program out of its doldrums, but something had to shake that program loose. They had to shake them awake. And that's exactly what Jim Harbaugh did. He woke up Michigan.
Texer gets in with us and says, who do you rather have coach your team today, Harbaugh or Ryan Day? I'd take Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day has done an exceptionally good job running that offense. I mean, who knew what Dwayne Haskins was going to be? And I mean, Ohio State kind of became a little bit of a train wreck when Bosa decided that he didn't want to play anymore because he had a pulled hamstring or thigh muscle or something, and he didn't want to risk his NFL career. So he quit midseason. I mean, that's a big loss for Ohio State. And I thought they performed relatively well. And obviously the administration feels really good with him. Urban Meyer literally stood on the table for him to get the job. Now the question is going to be, what can they do defensively? That's my question for Ohio State. And Michigan, I mean, here's what Harbaugh's facing this year. He has to practically go undefeated. He'll get away with one loss, but it better not be to Ohio State. So he's got to go at least 11-1 during the regular season with a win versus Ohio State. He's got to win the Big Ten championship. He's got to go to the college football playoff. Now, if he does those things, then he'll be okay. Then the next year, he's got to win the national championship. Because let me tell you something. If Ohio State beats Michigan this year with Urban Meyer gone, Jim Harbaugh will be looking for a job.
The real question becomes, who do you replace him with? Who's going to get you over that hump? Who's out there that can be that guy? If it's not Harbaugh, and I'm not trying to save the man's job, I'm just saying, or asking the question, who else is out there that will elevate that program to the level that they all think they are?
Well, according to most publications, any of Nick Saban's assistants, because like somebody properly said, he loses assistants every year because people want to try to duplicate what Saban has done at Alabama, and they feel that an assistant that has been there can do that. The only one that's been able to do it has been Kirby Smart. There's been a lot of assistants that have left Alabama that have not repeated the success that Kirby Smart has had. Derek Dooley was a Nick Saban assistant. And he went to Tennessee, and that was an absolute catastrophe. And then now he's the offensive coordinator for the Missouri Tigers. And we're yet to see what they're going to be able to do offensively with Kelly Bryant and all that bunch. You know, so I think there are some people out there that the team that people need to watch out for is Texas. And Texas is not getting a lot of pub and a lot of love right now because of the prominence of Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma. And look, rightfully so. Oklahoma's been to the college football playoff the last 2 years and they've won the Big 12 championship, but Texas has beaten them. Now, Oklahoma beat them in the Big 12 championship game this year on the second time that they played. But I think Tom Herman finally has Texas turning the corner, and I love Sam Ellinger. I mean, that guy could play for me any day, and he is big. He's like 6'3", 240 pounds. And the things I've got a friend of mine that coaches in Texas and is very close. He's an alumni of the University of Texas. He played for the Longhorns back under Makovic in the 90s. And he tells me that this kid is one of the most explosive college football players. Everybody keeps talking about Trevor Lawrence, and rightfully so. Everybody keeps talking about Tua Tagovailoa, and rightfully so. But here's a dark horse for the Heisman, and it's Sam Ellinger. The guy power cleans over 400 pounds at the quarterback position. Think about that. Diesel, you're a
monster.
Lifter.
That's a monster.
Okay, you're a lifter. And a quarterback that power cleans 400, I mean, forget a quarterback that power cleans 300 is something. I mean, there are linebackers and defensive linemen that can't power clean 400 pounds at the Division I level.
That's an insane amount of weight. That's you're not far off the realm of Olympic weightlifting status.
That's exactly right. So that means he's got to be in the 650, 700-pound squat area on the squat. Now, again, for a defensive lineman, for a linebacker, that's not unheard of. For a quarterback, it's absolutely unheard of, especially in a Tom Herman offense where he knows how to manipulate the quarterback position. And it explains why, to this day, Georgia still couldn't tackle him. Literally, Texas lined up from the 5-yard line from first and goal and literally ran the quarterback draw and the quarterback lead 4 straight times, and Georgia couldn't stop it. And they scored a touchdown. And it makes sense with a quarterback like that. Now, Tebow was never that type of athlete. And he's got a better than average arm, which makes him dangerous in the passing game. So that means Big 12 defenses, which are not very good at stopping the run, now have to commit 8 and 9 men to the line of scrimmage. And Texas has got some high top-end speed receivers that can beat you over the top. To me, the must-watch game of the college football season early on, there's 2 of them. It's Texas A&M and Clemson, because I think Texas A&M is going to be outstanding. And the other one is LSU versus Texas in week 2, where LSU goes on the road to Darryl K. Royal Stadium to play Texas on prime time. I believe it's on September the 7th. To me, that game has national championship implications because I think Texas could possibly be the surprise of the college football world this year. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back into ESPN, Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. There's a couple of things. You know, we didn't get a real chance to talk about, and we've got what? Is this our last segment? We got one more.
We got two segments left.
All right, so we got this one and one more. And I want to kind of give a look around college football in these last two segments, because after these, I will be off air probably till January, after the first of the year. So let me just say, Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, all of those good things. Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Halloween. What else we got coming up here in the next 6 months, 4 months or so?
We have Labor Day coming up.
Labor Day. There we go.
Yeah.
Happy Labor Day. All that good
Flag
stuff.
Flag Day. I don't know. When is Flag Day?
And I hope people enjoy the college football and the NFL season. It's a lot of fun. Football is the heart and soul of the United States. I mean, we love – I mean, the calendar is set around when football gets started. It brings people together like – well, sports do in generally, but – I mean, how many places can literally you go and you sit with 80,000 people that doesn't look like you, don't make your money or vice versa, didn't grow up like you? There's so much diversity every weekend in college football stadiums and NFL stadiums and high school stadiums that it really does bring people together. And the only colors that matter are the ones on the field. And everybody can relate to that. Whether you're a Clemson fan, South Carolina fan, Georgia fan, Tennessee fan, doesn't matter. So I hope everybody enjoys what we get to do for the next 4.5 months. Or I may as well say 5 months, because the Super Bowl now is in February. Another team that I think people are missing on in college football is the Iowa Hawkeyes. What Kirk Ferentz is doing in Iowa City is not short of miraculous. Now, he's got a tough row to hoe, but I firmly expect the Big Ten to come down to three teams: Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa. And I'm not so sure that Iowa is not going to win the Big Ten. I would not be shocked one bit if they won the Big Ten. I think when you look around the Big 12, it comes down to three teams for me out of the Big 12: Oklahoma, Texas, and TCU. Now, TCU has fallen on hard times. People are probably going, TCU, Josh, what are you talking about? They stunk last year. TCU, you thought, South Carolina fans thought they had the injury bug. TCU lost 18 players to injury last year. 18.
It's really hard to field a competitive team when you lose 18 players.
Huh. It's hard to be competitive without, I mean, South Carolina could be competitive without 9. I mean, 18 players out. And, I mean, Gary Patterson is one of the – that guy does not get enough credit for what he does. And it's unfortunate that that is the case. But TCU, I expect to bounce back. And I think the Big 12 is going to come down to Texas, Oklahoma, and TCU. And – I'm not so sure that Texas isn't going to win that. Because the thing about Texas is, and I know people always laugh because they think the Big 12 doesn't play defense, and for the most part they don't. I think Herman finally has the issues on their defense fixed. We'll see. We're going to see in week 2 when the Bayou Bengals from LSU come calling. But I have got that game. There's two games early in the season I've got highlighted that I want to see: Clemson and Texas A&M, and LSU and Texas. Because I think both of those games are going to have national championship implications. The Pac-12 is just a disaster. Oregon's probably going to win it. by default. I would love to see Washington State win it. I would love to see Washington State get into the college football playoff. We almost got it either last year or the year before. I think Washington State had one loss, and they went into the Apple Cup, and they needed to beat Washington, and they would have won the Pac-12, and they would have gone to the college football playoff, and they end up getting beat, and they didn't make it. And the reason I want Washington State in the college football playoff is because I want a solid month of nothing but Mike Leach.
Okay? I love Mike Leach. How can you not?
Could you imagine? Think about this. Could you imagine in the college football playoff, although I don't think they're going to be there, but could you imagine a whole month of Alabama versus Washington State and Mike Leach and the opposite ends of the spectrums that is Mike Leach and Nick Saban? Because at some point during those coaching interviews, Mike Leach is going to make Nick Saban feel uncomfortable because he's going to say something out of left field.
And Nick's not going to know how to respond
to it. He's not going to know how to deal with that. And, I mean, Mike Leach is one of those coaches that's liable to look over at Saban and go, I'm getting ready to hang 50 on you. Now, you may hang 55 on us, but I'm going to hang 50 on you there, guru. I mean, that's just the way Mike Leach is. And I'm going to be excited. I mean, so, but I don't think we're going to get that. But, you know, the Pac-12's a mess, but three teams to watch out for that I'm really high on: the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Texas Longhorns, and the LSU Tigers. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the final segment of Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. Hard to believe, man, we're already here. Final segment for the next 4 to 5 months, man. Diesel, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you putting up with me for the last 3 days. Sturge will be back Monday. I'll start back with my coaching duties on Monday, and then the week after that, I am headed to the beach. We will have a dead week the previous week. And then when we come back, man, it's here. Football's here. We start Jamborees on August the 8th, and it's time to get after it. And I couldn't be more excited about this football season, and I'm looking forward to it. So, Diesel, I want to tell you thank you for the last 3 days. All of our callers, listeners, texters, and guests, thank you for your interaction on the show. Texter gets in with us and says, well, this is very kind. And see, it's nice to get these because most of the time I don't get nice compliments. Usually it's, he's an idiot, I hate him. What's the other one? He's crazy.
Way too handsome for his own good.
For radio, yes, you're probably right. Coach, you're the best. I ask questions on Tuesday, and you're still referring to them on Friday. That's awesome. I love you. God, I love you guys as well. So I enjoy being on here. I like filling in from time to time, but I really enjoy what we're doing now, and I'm looking forward to that. Diesel, this weekend, you said you're going to go.
I'm going to try to hit a drive game.
You're going to go to a drive game, which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 7.
Man, those are so much fun.
I hadn't been to one yet this year.
I mean.
And that's awful.
Those are so much fun. I was at the drive game when our football team, out of all the, I believe there's 15 high schools in the greater Greenville County area, and our high school won, had the highest GPA out of all those schools. Second time in our school's history that we did that. We won it in 2016, and we won it this past year. And so we were going to we went to the drive game because they brought us out there to introduce us. And lo and behold, guess who I run into? Alex Guest. Remember Alex? Alex interned here with us for a little while, and now he is doing awesome things with the Greenville Drive, and it was a fun time. We had a lot of fun with our kids, with the other players, the other teams that were there, and enjoyed ourselves tremendously there at the Greenville Drive. And of course, I love the fact that it's a Boston Red Sox affiliate. And that's always nice. Heading into the fall, you pull for App State. What's App State? They got a new head coach?
Yeah.
Eli Drinkwitz?
Eli Drinkwitz. Got one of the best names in college football.
Yes, it is. Hey, get ready. Hey, get ready for a lot of motions, shifts, play action passes. That's what he's known for. He's a Gus Malzahn disciple.
Yep. Got two big out of conference Power 5 games this year. We take on North Carolina in week 3, I believe, and then South Carolina mid to late season. On the road for both of those.
App State is playing South Carolina this year?
Yep.
And you'll be at both of them, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Now, are they going? Now, I asked this seriously. I mean, I haven't looked. I don't have the schedule up in front of me. I'm sure they're going to Williams-Brice.
Yes.
Although, you can't make that assumption because Miami came up to App State a couple of years ago.
There is a home-and-home scheduled with South Carolina. I want to say it's a 2-1. First game will be in Columbia, second game will be in Boone, third game back in Columbia.
So the Gamecocks are going to Boone, North Carolina.
That's right, Gamecocks, Tar Heels are going to be coming to Boone. Who else is going to be coming up the mountain in the near future? East Carolina, I know that. We've already hosted Miami. Already hosted Wake Forest. Pretty good setup of games there.
Now, are you doing anything on the weekend with any of the college football shows, or you're done?
I'm done. I get to enjoy college football on the weekends.
Get to actually go. I'm going to try to go. It's awfully hard because Saturdays are our work days, and it's hard to get to a game. But I'm going to try to get our work done, especially if it's a late game like 6 or 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We might be able to make one. But I'm going to try to go to – one, maybe two college football games, because it's just good to go to just be a fan and just kind of forget about the world for a while.
Well, my credential requests are in for Clemson games, so if there's a big game down in Clemson and it does not conflict with big game up in Boone or maybe Chapel Hill or Columbia, I will be down in Tigertown this year, hopefully. That is assuming that they approve my credentials.
Well, now, to kick off the season for the game, of course, Clemson plays Georgia Tech. And to kick off the season, the Battle of the Carolinas, you could call it the Major Shrine Bowl.
Is there a name for that rivalry game? Do they have a name for it?
You know what? I think there is, but I don't know what it is.
If anybody can tell us, get in on the text line real quick and let us know.
Yes, there a rivalry name between the University of North Carolina and the University of South Carolina?
There should be. There has to be.
What do you think it should be called? The Sandlapper Bowl? No, because they're the Tar Heels.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
the Border War? Border is that War, what they call it? The Border War?
No, that already exists somewhere else. Border War already exists. And I want to say that's isn't that a Pitt game? Isn't like Pitt Louisville or something like that is a Border War? I'm not sure.
Pitt West Virginia.
Okay.
Yes. Pitt and West Virginia. Yes, they are the Border War there. But the Gamecocks open up with North Carolina and Charlotte. At Bank of America Stadium. That's going to be exciting. I like the fact that both the in-state schools are playing legitimate opponents. You know, that this isn't a Towson or who was the other one we mentioned yesterday? Now, no respect to them.
It's like Missouri State.
I coached at that level, so, you know.
Yeah, I think we talked about Missouri playing like Southeast Missouri State or something.
Yeah, I think that's right. But the college football season's getting ready to kick off. The Gamecocks should be 2-0 going into that Alabama game. Of course, Clemson looking to go another 15-0 and win the national championship. Man, could you imagine the state of Alabama and the rest of the country if Clemson went 15-0, which would really be 30-0 because they went 15-0 last year, and won another national championship, especially if it was at the expense of Alabama. Now, I don't think they're going to meet because I don't even think Alabama's going to be there, but remains to be seen. It could happen. But could you imagine that they wouldn't know what to do with themselves? Literally, the rest of the country would not know what to do because literally in every publication, they've got Alabama number one. I had both the senior editors of the Sporting News magazine and Athlon, two of the most prestigious college football magazines, on this show a few weeks ago to explain why in their preseason magazines they had Alabama number one when they weren't the defending champs. And they both said, well, it's how we see the season ending up. So right off the bat, most people, I mean, you would think that, again, a team that's won two out of the last three national championships in Clemson wouldn't have to defend their reputation, but they do. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. I mean, one, I can understand. Two, I mean, they shouldn't have to be dealing with all of this nonsense. But that's what happens when you change people's opinion and you do things that they say cannot be done. And that's why I'm excited about our Blue Ridge. People ask me all the time, Coach, are you enjoying high school ball? You know, do you love it? And I absolutely love it. And I love the place that I'm at. I'm loving being at Blue Ridge High School. And I cannot wait to watch our kids get out there and compete and be relentless and flat get after it on August the 23rd. I will see you in January. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.